Alaska Podcast. I'm your host, Xavier Schley. I'm with
Christine White.
And we're going to talk a little bit about, well, actually, before we get into this, why don't you tell me what you do professionally?
Okay. I'm the communications manager at R&M Consultants. Over there, I'm responsible for internal and external communications, which include media relations, social media, website, online marketing, as well as content.
How long have you been doing that?
I've been in R&M for about 7 years with the company, and I've been in marketing and communications for about 11 years overall.
Yeah. So how much of the stuff that you just listed out from media, how much of your time is devoted to social?
I would say a good chunk, probably 25 to 30% of my time.
And what all social venues are you guys in?
So we use pretty much the range of what's available. We have our LinkedIn page that we use.
Which as is well what we're going to talk about here in a minute.
That's what we're going to talk about. We also use Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Some of the other ones that are not quite as social but maybe professionally focused, we use Glassdoor as well. I think that's about it.
Now, of those, I guess let's do this two ways. Of your time in social, broken out to those particular platforms, what gets the most of your time? What gets the least?
The most, I think, would be Facebook. Just because the audience is wide ranging and we do a lot of community involvement aspects to our work as well as professional. And then I think probably the second would be LinkedIn, and then it kind of falls to Instagram for there, and then Twitter. So,
and can you walk me through the demographics of each of those?
Yeah. So Facebook is more general public. So you have kind of the range of just different community people, professionals. It's a little bit older age range, like millennials and above. Instagram, I think, kind of runs the range as well. That one does have a little bit of a younger crowd following. So I think, what is that, Generation Z, college students and high school students as well. LinkedIn, professionals, business professionals. So that one's pretty different than the other three. And then Twitter is more of a national aspect, and a lot of media outlets use Twitter.
For your company specifically, and if you can't get into this, I totally understand, but are you trying to achieve different things on each of those platforms? Or typically, if you're posting something on Facebook, it's probably going on Instagram, maybe not LinkedIn. But
there is some overlap, but there is some targeted differences there as far as what we're trying to do. Facebook, we do post a lot more employee photos, make sure we have whatever our employees' hobbies that they do, just them having fun at work. We do project photos on there as well, but yeah, it's very employee focused, community focused, lots of images, and the same for Instagram too, that as well. LinkedIn, it is much more work focused, so we do a lot of project updates on there. If we're going to be at a conference or if somebody's speaking at an event, we'll post it on LinkedIn. And then Twitter just kind of runs the range.
And do you ever, with a Facebook post, say, are you ever targeting a demographic, like boosting a post to a particular area of town or to a particular, type of person that you want that message to get out to?
Yeah, so we haven't done that with our company page. We have done some Facebook posts and have a couple of Facebook pages that are specific to projects that we've done for public involvement
purposes. That, like, people around the project.
Yep, and so we'll boost some of those related to, like, public meetings or an event that they're having for that particular project in whatever demographic that public is affecting. And those seem to work pretty well.
Yeah, and how have you seen the way your company uses social media change over time? I mean, because it was something that, I don't know, in 2008, not many companies were doing it all. And now, a lot of companies are on board, so I would imagine like the amount of use is changing very rapidly.
Right. Well, so just for example, when I started at R&M 7 years ago, I think they only had a Facebook page, and it wasn't used that much, so we didn't have very much of an online presence on social media or really any other medium that you can access online. So it's really grown from there, and we use it a lot more as for just getting out the word about us, letting people know about our people and what we do. You know, I post on there a few times a week versus where before it was once a month or so, maybe.
Yeah, because it's a pretty fantastic way to get out information about your company, where as in the past you'd have to have taken an advertising in a magazine.
Right.
Now it's free. You can just let everyone know what you're up to as a company.
Right. And it's also, you get that interaction from your audience. You know, people will comment or they'll like your post. So you can also tell what, you know, you get that instant feedback of what people actually want to hear about and see from you.
Yeah, the ability to measure who you're reaching and how on all those platforms is really phenomenal. You know, like before I was involved with it as a business, you know, when I was just me posting pictures of my kids, you don't really dig into that. But when you're doing it as a business, the tools they provide you to look at your ROI on that kind of stuff is really, it gets really deep really quick.
It does, yeah. Each platform has their own analytics that you can go in and kind of dive deep and see, look at specific posts and see, you know, what audiences they're looking at and what their reach is and all that type of good stuff that you want to know.
So I'm assuming that your company, then their opinion of social, there being the people that are making the decision for your company, have you noticed that change over the seven-year period you've been there, or were they pretty well on board to begin with?
They were on board with it to begin with, but they've become more on board with it, I guess I could say. We do have much more buy-in from our managers, upper management managers, and even our engineers about posting on social media. So now people will send me photos all the time because they want to get their project on our Facebook page, or they want to get something that they're doing on there. Cause they see it on there for other people and they think it's cool. And it also helps them as far as introducing our clients to them, our communities to them, and getting to know what they do specifically, because they are our people and they're the ones out working on the jobs.
What do you think drove that recognition? Is it that you're bringing younger people into the company, or is it that the older generation is just seeing the value in it for the first time?
I think it's both. I think having the younger people in the company helps drive the social media, and it helps kind of bring it up to a level where the older folks see that it's getting out there and people are seeing it. And so I think it's a combination of both.
Yeah. It's been an interesting thing to watch. I've dealt with it with Anchor Sand and Gravel and then at AGC, you know, with typically the people at AGC are people who own or run companies. So they're, you know, 60s.
Right.
Typically in that age group, and I've watched them change from, well, I don't use it, but I can see that we're going to need to where they start using it. It's a hard thing to, you know, once you dip a toe in, you pretty fast you're involved in it.
Right.
You know, like it's very user friendly.
Right.
So I guess we should talk specifically about LinkedIn then, because that's what we're here to go over. but I'm glad that we talk a little bit about social in general and the value of that for a company, because it's for so long it was just underused, it seemed
right.
like. So why don't you start out by telling us the difference between LinkedIn, what makes it different than, say, Facebook or Instagram?
Right. So LinkedIn is a professional networking social channel. So versus Facebook, it's more of a personal level as an individual. LinkedIn is solely based on businesses and business professionals, and it's built around that aspect. So it has a lot of tools and resources and components to it that are focused on building your business and also building yourself personally as a professional and getting that word out there.
Yeah, and when your company is hiring people, how much of a person's resume now is their LinkedIn profile, or is it just in terms of a piece of what they're presenting themselves, how much is LinkedIn a part of that?
I think it's getting to be more and more. I know that a lot of times when we get a resume, we'll go and look at their LinkedIn pages. And sometimes you have the opportunity to post a lot more on your LinkedIn page than you would on your resume.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to have that.
Because you're not limited to one page.
You're not limited to one page. You can put links on there, portfolio samples of work or information about projects you've done. You can all put that on LinkedIn. So it's a great supplemental resume to your actual resume that you submit. And I know more and more employers are looking at things like that and just trying to find out more information than what you get on a one-page resume.
Yeah, I think to a real extent, like, if you're a professional in your field, like if you have experience, if you've been doing your job for 5 years or 10 years or whatever, a lot of people tend to just underestimate what they do because it is easy for them because they've been doing it for
right.
a decade. But LinkedIn gives you the ability to sort of show you're an expert in your field. Like
right.
there's all these ways that you can communicate and groups you can become involved in or lead, you know, and then clients can see before they meet you that you're an expert in your field. It gives you an opportunity to do that didn't really exist before.
Right. And that's the great thing about LinkedIn. It helps you establish yourself as the expert in your field and helps you get that information out there to potential employers, but also to clients. Because I know clients are looking at those LinkedIn pages too, and they're connecting with, you know, engineers or project managers or whoever's working on their projects. To get to know them and their work and what they're doing.
Well, let's approach this, I guess, as if we were talking to either a person just out of college that's going to start a LinkedIn account or someone who's been working for a while and just has had a job and doesn't have one. What's the first thing, I guess, that people should do if they want to start a profile on LinkedIn?
Right. So when you log in, they give you, you know, all the options to set up your LinkedIn page. So the first thing you should do is put a professional headshot on there. You want to make sure it's professional.
You mean done by a professional or looks professional?
Looks professional. So it doesn't have to be done by a professional, but it's not
a picture of you holding
social,
a fish.
Yeah, holding a fish, or you don't really want pictures of your family on there just for your headshot. So just a professional looking headshot of you at work, or even like a project photo of you working out in the field would work depending on your job.
Mm-hmm.
So just make sure it's relevant to whatever you're doing for your job. The second thing you want to do is they have a URL on there that you can customize. When you set up your LinkedIn profile, it has like a bunch of numbers and weird things at the end of it, which you don't want. You want to personalize it so you can give it out to people.
Oh,
so
like
it's
if
easy.
It's on a business card.
Yeah,
or
if it's on a business card or your email, so people can easily connect with you. So I think those are the two number one things. And then from there, you want to make sure you fill out a summary of who you are and what you do, so people know who you are and what you do for your company, as well as any past experience.
Let's backtrack to URL in case we mm-hmm. have people out there that don't know what that is. So
yeah, it's the web address of how somebody finds your profile. So any website has a URL that you would type into the search bar, URL bar, to access a website. So your LinkedIn profile has the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So people can just type it in and go directly to it to find you.
So once someone's set up and they have a headshot and they have a summary of what they do, you know, there's all kinds of places to put educational experience
right.
and all the ancillary things you do for your job. How much detail do you suggest they put into those?
I would make it enough so that they have a good, it's a good summary of what you do, but you don't want to do too much. So just make it really short and sweet and to the point, basically. You don't want to write like a book for each job that you've worked at, but yeah, just make just like you would fill out a resume, basically. Same type of information, short and sweet, to the point.
And then what's the major difference between your LinkedIn profile and your resume?
Right. So with LinkedIn, so it does have all the basic components of a resume on there, but there's a lot of other features that really make it stand out, and then you can really customize it. So you can put on there portfolio samples. So like if you've done a white paper, you can upload it to LinkedIn. There's options for that, as well as like any presentations you've done, links to project websites can be posted on there. They do have a specific project tab where you can put in different projects you've worked with and also add team members that you've worked on projects with, which is really great. So they can kind of see who you worked with on those projects. There's also a lot of other things on there too.
Yeah, like people can that have worked with you can go in and say that this person has experience with construction management. Or,
right. People can recommend you and write comments, recommendations as well. So they can recommend skills and say, this person is an expert in this. Or they can write a comment on there for you, you know, talking about their work experience with you, which is really nice for employers or clients to see.
Yeah, and that's a weird thing for people to get their heads around generationally, you know, because a lot of older professionals kind of came from a generation where you didn't really talk about yourself very much, you know, and
right.
and a lot of things on social are predicated on you saying, I did this,
right.
You know, which some people just don't feel comfortable doing, you know.
Right. So in that case, if you... You know, you could put the minimal information in, but then get a reference or a recommendation from somebody you've worked with to talk about you for you instead of you doing it yourself.
Or you just got to get over it, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's kind of the way things are done now.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's like the difference between using a fax machine and an email. It's just things are changing and you have to get used to that change.
Right.
But in terms of recommending people based on a skill or something you've experienced, that's also new for a lot of people to do, to have an interaction with someone at work and then go to their LinkedIn page
right.
and say, this person, you know, has experience with this. Like, that's not typically something that we've done in our professional lives. So how do you get people engaged in that?
The best way is to ask somebody.
Oh, to ask them to recommend you.
Yeah, to ask them to recommend you.
Which is also a weird thing to do.
It is a weird thing, but that really is the best way. Or you can go write a recommendation for somebody, and then they'll most likely reciprocate that well. So those are the two, I think, best ways to go about doing it.
And when you say write a recommendation, it's not as hard as that. Like, you're not putting together even a paragraph about
it.
No,
it's like a sentence or two.
Yeah, or at some point, you're just clicking this person has experience in accounting or whatever, you know?
Right. So super easy, super simple. Takes like maybe 2 minutes at the most.
Yeah. So once you have a LinkedIn account and you're kind of familiar with some of that stuff, what kind of things do you recommend are for people to post on their page?
Right. So posting is a way to get out information about yourself, right, and your expertise and what you do. So some things that you could post yourself is if you're working on a project, you can do a project update. It's like, I was out of this project site on this day doing this for this project and it's going awesome. You can, if you read articles on LinkedIn, this is a really easy way to do it where you don't have to do a lot of work. If you read an article, you can share it on LinkedIn and just make a comment about what you thought of the article and say, you know, I thought this is interesting. What do you guys think? Things like that. Super easy and simple to do. Anything about your company, if your company has a LinkedIn page, you can share their posts as well. conferences you go to. You could write updates about the session you were in. Those are some easy things that are good. So you basically want to put out information about there about your work, what you do, so people know what you do and what you're interested in as far as a business basis.
And then I guess when you're looking at things you've done to educate yourself professionally or mm-hmm. conferences you've attended, what's the breakoff point for whether you put that in the section that deals with your education or whether you're just commenting on it?
So the education aspect of the LinkedIn page, I would put anything that you actually get a certificate for mm-hmm. or some sort of certification or completion, you know, your college education, those types of things.
So anything that would put credentials on your business card,
yeah.
basically.
Yeah, or anything having to do with work certifications that you need for work. I don't think I would put conferences that you've attended on there unless you are being certified for something in that aspect. I think it just gets to be too much on your LinkedIn page there.
And then there's a part where you're putting volunteer work, and then I get confused when I'm like, so like, let's say you chair a committee.
Yeah.
That's not really a professional commitment, you know, in that you're not being paid for it,
right.
or you're a board of directors, or you're a member of a board of directors.
Right.
So where do you kind of include that in LinkedIn?
So there is, if I remember correctly, so there's a volunteer place that you can put, and there's also a professional organization place. And so I would put anything having to do, like, things with AGC and committees you serve on and things you're volunteering for as far as AGC is concerned under the professional organizations section of it. The volunteer aspect is more for community involvement, volunteerism.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit different there.
Excuse me. And then what about, I think this would be an issue probably for more younger people with a LinkedIn account, but you're very used to interacting with other people on social media through Facebook or Twitter, and there's a lower threshold of contact there than I think you want in LinkedIn, you know? So I guess talk a little bit about the difference in the way you comment to things in LinkedIn compared to Facebook and
right.
other social media.
Right. So Facebook and other social media, it's more personal socialization. So you would say things, you know, that you would say to your friends or your family members, and you're a little less guarded in what you say
mm-hmm.
To people that you know well. So LinkedIn, you want to keep it professional. You want to keep it appropriate because people that you do business with and people that are your clients are going to see these comments. Like, they're going to live on there forever. And even if you delete them,
yeah,
somebody's already seen it.
Yeah.
And they'll share it with other people. And they'll remember that when they are going to do business with you or looking to hire you. So you want to make sure you don't say anything inappropriate. You want to keep it fairly neutral, I guess, as far as political figures or politics or any of that stuff, unless you work for a political company.
Yeah.
In that case, it would be a little bit different if you're advocating for something. But yeah, you want to keep it really appropriate and professional and just watch what you say.
Yeah. So what makes the difference between a good LinkedIn page and a bad LinkedIn page? I mean, give some examples of what a bad LinkedIn page contains. What are some pitfalls of that?
Nothing.
Oh, yeah.
If you have no photo, no information in there, I have seen people's LinkedIn page where they literally set up a profile and there's nothing on it.
That's probably
the worst example.
Yeah. Or it's probably an older person who's
right.
You gotta have a LinkedIn page to do this.
Right.
And so they're like, fine, but I'm never gonna use it, so I'm not gonna
right.
put anything
right.
on it.
And so yeah. there was no point in setting up in the
yeah.
first place. You might as well have not done it. The other thing I think that's a big mistake, is not putting any work history or current work history in there. I mean, that's kind of the backbone of LinkedIn. People want to know where you work at and what you do, so you need to make sure you put that in there. I think that's about the basics, but yeah, you just want to make sure that you have information on there, and you're filling out the basic tabs about work experience and education and what you do.
Yeah, what about background photos? I've seen some very busy background photos on a lot of LinkedIn pages that make it
right.
confusing.
You want to be careful about that too. You don't want to have anything too crazy or too out there or
also,
too eyesore.
And don't they have a weird aspect ratio to where
they do? It's very narrow, yeah. So you want to make sure whatever photo you put in there, you can actually tell what it is, because it is a very like a banner photo, so very narrow and long. My recommendation for background photos would be a project photo that you can actually see maybe a portion of whatever the project is in there in the background, or even anything work related. You at an event, community event, where you're volunteering for some work thing, those work perfect. Just be careful and make sure that it actually looks decent once you upload it on there.
Yeah. I guess I like to end these things with, why don't you tell me for your company, well, is there anything else you want to hit on LinkedIn before I get into the weird things that I like to end interviews with?
LinkedIn's a really powerful tool, not only for business networking with other professionals that you work with in your field, but also for networking with clients and potential employers. It's a really great way to keep up with colleagues and know where they are, because a lot of times I've seen there's people that I haven't talked to in months, and then all of a sudden I'll see on there, oh, they got a new job at this place. So it's a great opportunity to reach out to them
to
and connect.
To announce where people can find you.
Yeah, so it's just a really great way to keep up with people in your industry and your clients and everybody you're connected to on LinkedIn.
So being that you sort of are in charge of the social media platform within your company, what's the weirdest comment you've had to deal with on your company's, say, Facebook page or Twitter account? Like, what's the thing that you opened up and went, what am I seeing on here?
We had somebody that's not even in Alaska or related to our company in any way leave a bad review on our page saying that we wrote them a bad check. And we had never done business
totally
with this person.
Yeah.
And he wasn't even in Alaska. And we reached out to him, and he was adamant
that he'd received a bad check.
That he received a bad check from us. And we're like, no, we've never done business with you. We don't know who you are. So that was, probably the weirdest thing.
Well, and that's kind of a thing that when people are thinking about starting a social media outlet for their company, that's one of the things they worry about. Is
right.
What happens if people come on here and say things about my company that I don't want to get out there? And, the truth is there's nothing that gets on your Facebook page that you can't take off your Facebook page.
Right, but that might not also not be the best response to just delete it.
Mm-hmm.
That is an option, but you want to make sure you monitor, right, what people are posting on your Facebook page, and you want to try to, mitigate the comments and respond to them and just be very responsive to their comments.
Yeah, because a negative post could just be something that you want people to see that we've addressed this
issue
quickly.
Right.
We understand it's a concern, and this is how we're dealing with it.
Yeah, and if you just delete the comment without responding to it, that person can go and badmouth your company somewhere else where you don't have the power to delete that comment.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure you respond to it.
Yeah, and you also mentioned that you want to get to it quickly, which is
right.
Another thing that that once you start social media, you need to, people are expecting you to look at this thing quite a bit and get
right.
back to them quickly. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't wait. Even a couple of days is typically too long. People are used to that instant response on social media.
Do you have a good story, a good example of something like that happened through social media on your?
We've gotten some really great comments from clients. We just did a project, the single track Chester Creek bike trail. So
that's right by my house. I live.
Yeah, so we just got done, and the project manager over there left us. They did a great video, and then she shared it, and then she just left like a really nice comment about working with R&M and how great the project went, and how she was so excited for this to be done. So that was really awesome, and that's also something that we can share and that we can keep and use, you know, in other marketing materials, as long as, you know, we ask her, we can put in other stuff. But yeah, you can share that on social media. But that was a really good good social media comment that we got, and that was just really recently.
Yeah, that's a good story. Mm-hmm. I at my own company, we had a Facebook page, and someone posted that they'd seen a mechanics truck in one place, and this was like on a Sunday or something, and a generator, and it turned out someone had stole a generator, and we got our generator back that way.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and another one was you know, we supply gravel and concrete, but we don't truck it. So we loaded somebody with gravel, and they'd gone on a roundabout and spilled a bunch of it. And a guy, I don't know if it was a guy, someone got on and commented about how irresponsible the company was. And so it gave us the ability to go, well, we don't drive the truck. We just supply the gravel, you know, but we're going to go out and clean this up as well. So like initially it was a negative comment, but it gave us the ability to educate the public about the fact that we're just a gravel supplier. We're not doing any of this, but you know, we're in this community and we want to go fix this problem. So, it is a really powerful tool that it seems to be underutilized a lot.
Right. Definitely. Especially in our industry, we're a little bit behind on a lot of those things. So.
Yeah. But the great thing about that is, that all of the mistakes, someone's already made them, you know, so like it's easy to come in now and, you know, and pick up all the low hanging fruit. Like the models are out there. We know how to do it, you know?
Right. For sure. A lot of resources available to help you.
Yeah. That is true though. Like the construction industry has been real slow to move on this. Well, thanks for coming and talking to us about LinkedIn. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Alaska Works Podcast, brought to you by a generous contribution from the Construction Industry Progress Fund and the Associated General Contractors of Alaska.